Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian and Michael here. Michael is in a good mood tonight. In fact, I believe you just cracked open another Steve Weiser. Is that correct?
Yep. This is our second take. Ryan won't let me start a turf war, okay? I want to start a turf war. Ryan won't let me do it.
Yeah, you're right.
It
I won't.
Makes me angry.
Are you going to turn green and, like, rip off your shirt now, or?
Certain people. I'm not going to name names because we'll have to do a take three for the podcast.
That's true.
Bullcrap. But there are people out there in the podcast sphere doing crappy radio shows. And you know what? We're listening. And we're on to you. And you're the reason I
Well, I wouldn't say we're listening, okay?
Well, for the first 2 or 3 minutes, we are.
to about one or two of them, and that's about it.
And then we complain about it off the air.
Yes.
And, doing well, second takes because I can't
somebody
name them.
More than other people complain about it, apparently.
Yeah. You. Hey, geez, you know what? There are good people out there, too. We're talking about Kevin Eck. Good
yes.
writer.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give away a little spoiler here that Kevin's going to be joining me on the podcast next week.
Nice. You had another one of our friends on the podcast earlier in the week, Scott Fishman.
Yes, the fishy.
Uh-huh. He Stop watching baseball and do the podcast.
I'm adjusting volume levels, dude.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God I am. I am watching the baseball game, too, but that's not what distracted me there. I'm adjusting volume levels a little bit. I'm trying to get our volume levels the same. And I have
it's
to adjust
story.
A little bit.
Okay.
Because when we talk off the air, one of us was talking a little bit louder than they're talking now. And I'm like making an adjustment. So mine is the same as yours because I can't really adjust yours because I'm recording it on my end. So I have to adjust from my side.
Here's what happens. I sit in this office.
Cracking
back here in my chair.
Beers. And,
Yeah. Cracking beers open. And then we start doing the podcast. I get real close to the microphone. You know, you got to, when it comes to radio, you got to get real close to the microphone. Like you got to smooch
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah, but let me tell you a little inside scoop for everybody out there listening. This is how this goes. So we record it. And then every couple of weeks, you call me, email me, text me. And it's like, hey, can you watch the audio levels? Because you were a lot louder than me.
Mm-hmm. So it's really my fault.
Right. And then you start complaining about it, you know, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm trying to adjust here.
Well, it's because I sound like I'm in like a wind tunnel or something.
Well,
you can't hear me.
Well, get real equipment like I have, okay?
Wiseman, come home. Like, I'm way off in the distance. Like,
by the way, I'm going to give you this one-time opportunity.
Okay.
For 30 seconds, you can call me out for something bad that I did earlier tonight.
Oh, did you do something bad earlier tonight?
Well, you already...
Crap! You... I gave you one job, Fritzy. One job. All right? I remember what it is now. I told you that you needed to put up those Facebook questions, and now we're going to have like 20 people instead of our normal 120 commenting and leaving us questions for tonight. I gave you one job.
I know. Well, the problem was you asked me like, hey, can you post this right before dinner? And my wife was like, hey, dinner's ready. You know, I just finished cooking. And I totally forgot that you asked me to do that because I was hungry.
Mm. So basically, our fans are being deprived of the opportunity to ask us wrestling-related questions.
I posted it. I just posted it like 20 minutes before we started the podcast.
Yeah. Missed our entire – that entire window.
I know.
That our audience looks at our website. Great. Way to go.
By the way, so Sunday is Extreme Rules. We are going to return and do a post-game show, and we're going to do a Google Hangout. We're returning to that format. We're going to try it again. I am hoping that by the time that comes, right now, because I'm in a different place than the last time we did a Google Hangout because I moved. So right now, what you see behind me is a black and white picture, a big frame picture of Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about changing that out to a new item that I just got that I'd always wanted, but it always been kind of expensive, and I found it cheaper on eBay, and I won an auction. Now I have to get a frame for it, And come to find out, it's not a regular size where I think I can just go to a Target or something and get a frame. I think I have to special order a frame. But I did win an eBay auction, and I almost never bid on eBay, of a classic 1988 Macho Man Randy Savage poster.
Nice. Vintage.
It is vintage.
Authentic.
Yes. I found one that was cheaper. Like in the past, the ones I've seen, like in mint condition, were like a couple hundred bucks. And this one definitely was not.
Hmm.
And just for the heck of it, I decided to put in a bid like with a minute left on this auction. I happened to be around what's going on, and I won it, and I couldn't believe it. So,
that's awesome.
But the problem is, you're thinking, oh, okay, it's a poster. So it's going to be like, I don't know, 24 by 36, right? Which is a normal poster size. You can get the frame anywhere. Oh, no, it's 22 by 34.
Is that a normal size?
It's not a regular size when it comes to frames where you could just go to like a Walmart or a Target or something like that. You got to get a customized frame.
Huh.
So that means I can order like an Amazon, or I can go to like a Michaels store or something like that.
Oh, Michaels is pretty easy to get to, though.
Yeah, I don't think there's one really close to me. But then you have to like tell them what size you want or what kind of frame you want, and then they have to make it. So there's an effort there. Costs a little bit more. It's a little bit more expensive.
Mm.
But it is Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, that's awesome.
Custom. Retro. Vintage.
That's awesome. You know what I did?
Mm.
I went and saw some midget wrestling over the weekend.
You did. Tell me about it.
Listen, I don't know if you saw the show on True TV, Micro Championship Wrestling.
Mm.
Hulk Hogan was on the show. He was not at the event here in Winston-Salem Saturday night because, quite frankly, it cost too much to ship the Hulkster out here for a one-off night like that.
Hey, brother.
But, those little guys put on one hell of a show. I mean, you know, people kind of think of midget wrestling as being this.
Are you allowed to call midgets?
The signs. You Twitter, Facebook me, Instagram me, wiseman.ma. The sign says outside the annex, midget wrestling.
I wasn't sure if that was socially acceptable.
Yes, they call themselves midget wrestlers.
Okay.
I agree. It seems weird. Now, I would not go around calling all little people midgets because you might get kicked in the shins.
What would you normally call them? Little people, dwarves, elves, what?
I think those last couple are a little bit offensive. I think
I don't know what's offensive in the little people world.
TLC calls them little people, right? So that's what
you got me.
If TLC does it, it's got to be right. But those guys put on one hell of a show. They are... You know, you watch WWE and you see like El Torito and Hornswoggle and the WLC matches and all that crap. It's just comedy, blah, blah, blah. No. These guys are legitimate wrestlers who take their craft very seriously. And I kid you not, there are guys and organizations across America on TV that could learn a thing or two about how to deliver a match, how to tighten up their in-ring game, and how to sell their characters from these guys because they are very talented individuals. Great show. Hugely entertaining. They only had a cast of about eight with them, and we had a good time.
Did everybody work like two or three times?
Basically, so I think back there, yeah, they did. Everybody worked at least twice because they did a battle royal at the end. But it told a fun story throughout the night. I mean, it was like a good version of Raw, you know?
Wow.
We put together a little mini doc for a paper I work for here in town. I'm going to do a write up for BetweenTheRopes.com. So you'll get the full experience maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. But yeah, check it out.
You mentioned Raw. So let's talk about Raw from Monday night, which honestly was not a bad show. I mean, there was nothing really wrong with it. The weird thing, though, at the same time was I remember watching it and I go, man, I go, what time is it? This show feels like it's been going on for a while now. And it was 9:30 Eastern. So it was only halfway done. I go, wait a second. I still had half of the show to go? What? How did this happen?
Because there was a lot of stuff that happened in that show. Did you feel like that?
I guess. You know, I think the thing that kind of weirded me out was they actually found a useful way to use Kane.
Okay.
Because I know I've been on my soapbox about him and Big Show where I don't take away from their contributions of the past. I'm not saying that they still can't contribute now. I just think they've been overused. They've been devalued. Mm-hmm. And I don't like seeing him on TV each and every week. And then this week they used Kane and he cut one of the better promos of his career. And he actually looked like a big, fierce guy that was ticked off at Seth Rollins and was telling him about it right to his face. And it was great.
I just can't believe how badly they've abused him in recent months. I mean, I'm not saying Kane is where he was 10 years ago or he's at the top of his game or where he was even 3 or 4 years ago. But this character they've had him in has been such a detriment to him. And I think fans are rallying against him more because of the character and the way it makes him look. And Kane's, that match with John Cena proves he's still got a little gas in the tank, guys. I mean, he can still go.
Well, the thing is, too, I'm not saying that necessarily he should be, you know, the big red machine and wear the, you know, those tights and all that. But when he comes out there with the suit pants and the dress shoes, I don't know about that look either. Okay.
You know what would work for him?
What's that?
If he was a dentist.
Hmm. Don't say that to him, man.
if you know, they could give him some kind of curly hair, like a dentist gimmick, and he comes out and he, you know.
I would not bring that up to him if you ever talked to him.
Okay.
I don't think he likes discussing it too much.
What if I bring up his political beliefs?
As long as you're not mocking him, he's more than welcome to talk to you about that.
Do you remember when they brought him on it was one of those, maybe it was MSNBC, right after he won the World Heavyweight Championship back in 2012, I want to say, 2011. It might have even been earlier than that. But anyway, when he won it at the Money in the Bank show by cashing in against Rey Mysterio that same night, and he was doing the rounds. He was on one of those financial shows, and he was wanting to talk about the election, and he wanted to talk about all the things that were going on, and all they wanted to do was see the belt. They're like, "Oh yeah, show us the belt. Come on, show us the
belt."
Was
that CNBC he was on?
It might have been. Was that it?
Well, that's a financial show or financial channel.
I get the facts mostly right, but
yeah,
that's good enough.
Only after a couple of cups of wine and
sure. I'm on a Steve Weiser now. So
I'd even say glasses because I'm sure it was cups.
wine glass.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. They're like, let me see the belt. Let me see the big shiny belt. I want to carry it. I want to hold it.
Oh, my God.
So do you have to carry this with you everywhere?
Yeah. No, I leave it at home.
Yeah, exactly, right?
In the fridge. Oh.
But like I said, I thought Raw overall was a pretty good show. I mean, leading up to Extreme Rules. I'm not saying that it got me a lot more psyched for that show, but it definitely set up the rest of the card. And I think it did its job. And overall, it was entertaining. I mean, everything with Seth Rollins and, you know, Rollins is complaining to the people around him. And at the same time, he's looking like a wuss because he wants more security and he's scared that he's going to get RKO'd. And Kane's in his face talking about, we helped make you champion and we could have had anybody. We could have picked Dean Ambrose. Hell, we could have picked El Torito, but we picked you. And so he's got problems there. And, you know, he's telling Triple H he needs more security, and I don't think that went over too well with the boss. And come the end of the night, he was backing away from everybody and tried to hide in the ring with the cage coming down, and he basically trapped himself because Randy Orton was right there, and RKO out of nowhere slung him off the top rope and, you know, gave him an RKO, which Orton was going around RKOing anybody he could, including Heath Slater, who was destined to be the U.S. champion, according to him last night. Instead, he got RKO'd through a table and catering.
That was a great gimmick for the evening because, I mean, okay, we can say that you kind of saw it coming, right? But just having Randy Orton RKO all these people, The Miz, Heath Slater, out of nowhere, it was just a fun way to build in that throughout the evening. And God, that RKO he hit on Seth Rollins to end the night.
Fantastic.
Jesus, it was incredible.
He launched him off that rope, man.
Bam! And Seth Rollins, God bless him, he sells like a son of a gun. I mean, he was in the air and he had it on his face and he was like freaking, you know, he does such a good job of giving back to the guys who are performing the moves, we'll say. So
let me ask you this question when it comes to Orton.
Okay.
How much of an effect do you think? Now, obviously, they said the RKO out of nowhere was something that they said before the videos and the vines and all that started popping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much of an effect do you think that's had on his career? positively. I mean, when it comes to that whole RKO out of nowhere movement online with the videos and everything.
I would say minimally, only because they were doing some pretty creative RKO things way before that video hit last year. If you remember the whole thing with Evan Bourne a few years ago where he hit it out of the moonsault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously he was hitting him out of wild positions and everything. Yeah.
He was hitting them out of nowhere.
But, I mean, he was doing very athletic things, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, I kind of wonder that because Orton's always been one of their more top guys, but not necessarily, like, entrenched. Mm-hmm. Well, he is, but he isn't. You know, he's a top guy, but he's not always vying for the title and, you know, whatever. But ever since that happened, I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened, but since then, they put a heightened importance on it, and they've continued to do that since. And now, even though he's been in this role for as long as he has been, it's like he's kind of their go-to guy for some of this now since that happened.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think it probably has helped some, but I think what has also helped is that, from a different perspective, Randy Orton does a lot better whenever he's bought into his character.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he probably is feeding on some of that positive energy that surrounded those videos and how fun they were. And I think he's used that himself to fuel what he does every week on Raw. And so I almost feel like that positive energy has done more for him in WWE, and they've given him more opportunities recently because of it, rather than creative being like, well, these videos are popular. Vince McMahon, bah, these videos, let's make him the champion. You know what I mean? I think it's worked more for Randy Orton.
I think one of the best things that he has going for him is that he is such a good worker, and he's reliable from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know what you're getting out of Randy Orton, okay? Now, I think you can make the argument about whether or not he is miscast as a babyface or a heel, because that's gone back and forth, and he's always embraced being a heel more, but I think he's kind of over that whole thing now where he's gone back and forth, or he's like, that's fine as long as I'm in a good storyline. You know, if I'm not a heel and I'm a babyface, but it's something where I can still have an edge, I think he's cool with that.
I think he's reliable in the ring. I think he's one of the most consistent performers when it comes to what he takes between those four turnbuckles. But I think when it comes to promos, that's always been his downfall. Not that he can't deliver a good promo. Monday Night proved that he can do it, but he has to have that buy-in. And there have been some months, even whenever he was the champion and he was playing second fiddle to Batista and Seth Rollins and he was on the Authority, that he just checked out. And so he's been better recently, but he comes and he goes. And that's just who he is. But in ring, I would put him, he can have a good match with almost anybody, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to look, what else really stood out from that show? Oh, here's one of the other things I wanted to bring up, one of the other points. So with all the different interaction that was going on between Rollins and the rest of the Authority, I wonder, you know, we can all sit there and go, is this like some big ruse or something, you know, when it comes to Sunday? Because now Kane is going to be involved in the cage match. He'll be the quote-unquote guardian of the cage. So I was looking for Groot around there. They kept saying he was the gatekeeper, and I said, well, then who's the keymaster? Where is Zool? So he's going to be involved, and that adds another dimension, you know, to that match. Like, is he going to help Seth, or is he going to not help Seth and help Randy? So you've got that bit of intrigue going into that little twist, but I wonder if there's going to be a point, especially when Stephanie is back on TV, if they get fed up with Rollins and he is just like, you don't like me and I don't need you and I'll go out on my own. And if they do something like that, where he breaks away from the Authority, and they could even do it in a way where maybe he remains a heel and he's just like a man on his own island kind of thing.
Do you think that would happen soon?
I do. If they decide to go that route, I think it would happen within the next month.
Is this your bold prediction for the week?
Yeah. You know what? And I'll take it one step further. If they really wanted to do this, not only could you do that, but you could do it in a way where you turned Seth. And you know how they said, hey, we could have chosen other people for this group or for this position. We could have had Dean Ambrose. We could have had whoever. What if they did that, but it was Roman Reigns that took his spot in the Authority?
That would be fantastic. Holy crap. That would be almost said a curse word on the air, which would be bad for us. You'd probably make us do a take three. Mm. That would be awesome. That I would totally dig that. Can you imagine what that would do for him?
I think that would do a lot for both of them, because right now Roman is just kind of, he's there. He's not as hot as he was, but obviously they want to do stuff with him. They want to position him as one of their top guys going forward. But I just think that that would do a lot of good for everybody involved.
What did you think about I agree. Let me just say, to kind of wrap that up, I agree 100%. And we talked about before Paul Heyman possibly being the guy that could be a Roman Reigns manager. I think him fitting in with the Authority would be a perfect fit. It'd kind of do what it did for Batista last year, when Batista kind of had to come back around and suck it up and be a heel. He did it with Triple H. And so I think that'd be great for him.
I don't think they want to put Paul with anybody else, only because they've seen the effect it's had on other people. Now, mind you, we can sit there and say, well, you didn't do it right with Cesaro, and you definitely didn't do it right with Curtis Axel.
and Ryback.
They just weren't the right guys, quite honestly. Yeah. But with Roman, it would be, he's a bigger guy. I mean, when it comes to, not just physically, I'm talking about, in position. But to me, it seems like a more natural spot to have him with the Authority.
Yeah.
And then he could sit there and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to have this crap go down where I get taken advantage of and I get screwed and this, that, and the other. I want people watching my back, because I know how good I am, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to be with the Authority,
Yeah.
Why not?
I agree.
I mean, you could do that. I don't know if it would happen immediately or how quickly they could put something in motion like that. But to me, it makes a lot of sense. So I've thrown it out there. So, hey, you want to be listening? There's an idea for you.
Get on it, creative team. Who do we know in the creative team?
Nobody.
Well, meet somebody.
Oh, okay. I got to meet somebody now.
Right. What did you think about his promo Monday night?
I like this promo. I mean, like that he's not as scripted and it's a little bit more off the cuff.
But he's still hitting some of those same beats. So you could tell that there were certain things that were scripted, or either he completely overshot what he was going for. That taking the big fight to the Big Show. Oh, come on. That had Vince McMahon written all over it.
Well, what about the where he said all you got to do is believe that?
It wouldn't have struck me in such an awkward way had the previous line not been the whole big fight in the Big Show. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have too much of a problem with it. I mean, I guess part of it is, they want to keep him as kind of a cool guy, but they don't want him being too heelish or whatever. He just needs to be himself. And if he's got a little bit of an edge, that's fine.
Yeah.
But definitely stay away from the campy lines, because that's what's going to ruin him. Because you could sit there and say, well, the kids still like him and the women still like him. But guess what? The people that are making the most amount of noise are the ones where if he continues to do that, they will hate him. And that's what the audience will hear. That's what everybody at home will hear, because that is going to override everybody. Even if that is a minority, it is going to just shuffle everybody else out of the way. And that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's too bad they haven't paired up with Big Show. That's the only thing about it.
How was the party on Monday night after the Miz beat Mizdow and is able to continue to be the Miz?
I mean, I'm glad, because I was really worried that I was going to have to start acting like Mizdow instead of the Miz.
I love that a lot of people are talking about, well, he's going to do a movie, so we all know who's winning this. And I'm thinking, it has to be Miz.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to have Miz. Well, I mean, what the hell are they going to do with Miz if he can't do Miz things?
Oh, God, like, that'd be genius.
Give me a break, man. I'm like, Miz has to win this. Oh, but he's going to do a movie. So what?
Also, well, I mean, that completely undermines what's happened to Sandow, which is they've used this platform to elevate him, so now they can break him away and let him do his own thing. Right. Why would they, after all this time, just give him somebody else's gimmick? That's the dumbest thing ever.
I know. Well, the thing is, too, with that whole feud between the two of them, that's the most anticlimactic ending to a feud I've seen in a while. From a standpoint, they spent so much time invested in putting them together and slowly breaking them up. And we can sit there and say, why didn't they have a match at WrestleMania, or why didn't they do something more, whatever. But they did not. When they did the breakup, and remember, they kind of broke up and then they didn't. Then we had Mania. That was a problem in itself. But they start having these matches. So Miz wins in a one-minute match. Mizdow gets a win back in a one-minute match. So this week, they have the blow-off with all the Miz brand on the line, and they have what, like a 4-minute match, and Summer Rae turns, of course, on Mizdow and helps the Miz win the match.
Yep. Yeah, I thought that was a good twist. That was a good way to bring it back around. But God, I mean, they just kind of screwed the pooch with this one. Like, could you have at least waited until Sunday and had a gimmick on a pole match or something? I mean,
yeah, no.
I don't know. It just seems like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, there was some wasted opportunities, definitely, when it came to that thing. I don't. They could have done a lot better, I thought, when that feud. I was pretty disappointed by it. I'm curious what's going to happen with Mizdow now going forward. I don't know how great it's going to be for him, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to use him going forward, quite honestly. So how do you think the guy felt when Fandango won his match against Curtis Axel and hit the wrong music for Fandango?
So was that intentional? Like,
No. That guy hit the wrong music and was like, whoops, because he hit the right music and he kind of crossfaded it in.
Yeah.
Which is, you bring one up, you bring the other one down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, he was just like, whoops.
Yeah.
And even Fandango had this look in his face like, hello? Hello?
You know how he felt, don't you? He felt a lot lighter because his wallet was empty after losing his job.
Yes. Well, how about Dean Ambrose is now wearing his own T-shirt because he can't wear his wife beater because it's the same thing that Luke Harper wears.
So disappointing. Wife beater on a pole match. Listen, just put everything on a pole. Vince Russo would be so happy.
Well, TNA just had a pole on a pole match. So.
Did they?
Yes. They had a pole on a pole match.
I'm a little bit behind. Can you tell?
Apparently. I don't know. Is that one? Yeah, I think that's aired on TV. I was there for the taping. So.
Listen, it's hard to find America's Greatest TV or whatever it is.
You mean Destination America?
Yeah, sure. That one sounds made up too, so why not?
Yeah. By the way, you know the Bellas are basically baby faces now, like out of nowhere?
Well, I heard that. Why were they cheering? Why?
They're cheering for one another. Come on, Brie. Come on.
But why was the audience cheering for Brie?
They don't want to root for Naomi. They'd rather root for the, you know, the person they know more. They like the Bellas. They just like the Bellas.
I'm so confused.
I still love that Brie mode is when she, you know, is hulking up for Brie. And by the way, Brie mode, which I do have the T-shirt for, Brie mode, is taken from Total Divas, apparently. Not that I've watched. Mm-hmm. But Brie mode was the mode she got in when she got drunk.
Right. I didn't know that. Not that I've watched Total Divas at all.
I honestly have still never watched that show.
Yeah, it seems great that we're going to market a T-shirt towards kids that encourages alcohol and drinking and being crazy when you've drunk too much.
So,
speaking of which, we have a new merchandise coming out here at Between the Ropes.
I know, right? The other thing, too, and we'll get into Extreme Rules, is Daniel Bryan. They still don't explain what's going on with him. They didn't say if he's going to be wrestling on Sunday. It just depends on his health and if he gets cleared by doctors. And it's not just a storyline thing. It's, you know, he's got an ongoing issue. He got sent home from the European tour. There was some talk that maybe it was some with his neck or his elbow. We don't know. There was some talk that he had a concussion, which doesn't seem like that is the case. And that would have seemed weird if he still worked a couple of matches, even if he was protected in like tags or six man, but was included in those. So I don't think it would have been a concussion. I might be wrong, but it seems weird if that was the case. But and there's been some talk too that he actually got the injury very early on in the European tour. So regardless of how it happened or whatever, we still know what exactly it is. He was taken off the road. He was not on Raw, and I guess he's got to get checked out again and see if he gets cleared before Sunday. If he's cleared, he'll wrestle. He'll take on Bad News Barrett for the IC title. If not. They didn't really plug that match, and they didn't have Barrett on the show, so they just obviously will not have the match.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to see what happens next. I know we're going to talk – I mean, maybe we won't, but Daniel Bryan's injury has disappointed me, not because I think he's injury-prone, but because it's a reminder of how tough that Ring of Honor style is and how much Bryan has already given to this industry. You know, for WWE fans, Bryan is still relatively young in his career, but – before he came to the biggest wrestling company in the world, he had been everywhere else in the world doing all the dramatic stuff he does on WWE TV every week. And Brian gives it his all. So I don't know. I just think it's...
He's not going to change his style. I mean, no matter what anybody thinks, he does not want change. And he looks at it as art. And this is his art, you know? How old do you think he is right now?
37.
He's 33.
Oh, damn. Damn, I overshot that one by a long shot.
Yeah.
I mean, dang, I overshot that one by a long shot.
Well, how old do you think Seth Rollins is? Because remember, Seth, while he didn't work in Ring of Honor as long, but he came from Ring of Honor as well.
28.
He is 28 years old.
Bam! Get some cold cuts. Get some cold cuts.
Okay, Icky.
I know you got your picture with him at Radio Row.
Right? Super Bowl Radio Row. I did with Icky Woods.
Oh, he's so fancy with cold cut pictures.
Hey, man, he was happy for the picture, man. He was like the star of Radio Row. Like, he was there for a couple of days. Like, that first day in the morning, he was really tired, but he was there a couple other days. And I don't know who it was, but I think it was some other player or former player. Was literally in the middle of a broadcast, saw him coming, and started going into the commercial, like line by line, get some cold cuts, wow, like screaming and everything, and everybody was just laughing their ass off, man, because, I mean, you could hear it everywhere in there, and Icky was laughing about it, too. He was a star, man. Everybody got into it when he was there.
That is funny.
But nobody was buying Geico.
Right.
Let's see. Extreme Rules, coming up on Sunday. So here's the card. Tyson, Kidd, and Cesaro, who are now baby faces, are taking on the New Day for the tag team championships on the pre-show.
I'm excited.
Well, they'll probably have a pretty good match. And like I said, Kidd and Cesaro now baby faces, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they put them against the heels rather than having the Lucha Dragons win.
Wait, are Kidd and Cesaro baby faces now?
Yes, they are.
But I thought Tyson Kidd was a jerk and he always like abused
Nope, not anymore, man. They're baby faces. They're cool.
Huh. I missed something.
Everybody did.
Well, I think, not that I was ever a huge fan of a New Day, but they have kind of come into their own a little bit more and being heels, and I think that's good. And I loved the Xavier Woods popping out from underneath the ring, doing that old 3-on-2 tactic to help them win the match. I think it's kind of fun. I don't think they win the belt, but I think that was kind of fun.
Let's see. They have, we already know, Seth Rollins against Randy Orton for the title.
Mm-hmm.
RKO is banned. Steel cage match. That means the Authority definitely cannot get involved. And Kane is the keeper of the gate. Guardian of the gate.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure, why not?
Batista's coming back.
That's what I was thinking, right?
You heard it first here, FinEurops.com.
Russian chain match for the U.S. title, Cena versus Rusev. Nikki Bella against Naomi for the Divas Championship. Maybe the Daniel Bryan Bad News Barrett match. Dolph Ziggler against Sheamus in a Kiss Me Arse match. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good match, though.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns against Big Show Last Man Standing match, where they'll find a forklift in the back with something heavy on a pallet, and they'll put it on top of Big Show so he can't get up. And then Dean Ambrose against Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight. By the way, I do want to bring this up. So this show is in Chicago. One of, if not the best cities for wrestling when it comes to the audience and interaction. What will their reaction be in the Roman Reigns Big Show match?
There won't be one. They'll just take naps.
I think it's going to be pretty negative towards everybody.
I think this is What are you thinking whenever you put Roman Reigns out there with Big Show only 2 months after their previous feud ended and then expect to sell it in one of the smarkiest towns in all of America?
Mm.
Did people just not realize it was going to be Chicago?
Yeah, I know.
It'll work. Bah.
Well, I thought after this, they're going to do Reigns against Bray Wyatt. I don't think that's going to be the case. Looks like Bray Wyatt against Ryback.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard Bray Wyatt and Ryback.
God. That sounds horrible.
Listen, I know somebody who knows Bray Wyatt. He texted me. He told me that's what's going to happen next.
Okay. Is that somebody you since you met him?
Yeah. Yep.
Two days before WrestleMania?
Yeah, me and Bray have been talking a lot. A lot of his texts are very weird. It's about follow the buzzards and the shadows and stuff. It's kind of bizarre sometimes when I get texts at 2 a.m. that just literally say follow the buzzards. But, you know, that's cool. It's all good. He's a nice guy.
I will say this. The card overall looks pretty good. It's one of those where you can talk about anticipation or not, you know, and if you're really looking forward to, but you really look at the card, I think the card looks good.
I agree. I think it's one of those cards we thought coming out of WrestleMania that they were going to let us down with, and instead they pulled together a pretty solid show.
So there's been some discussion that there's a reason why Seth Rollins did not break out the curb stomp during Raw and instead beat Dolph Ziggler with basically a double arm DDT. There's been some discussion that the curb stomp is banned. Now, there's also a very common belief too that it's not banned. It's just that they don't want him using it as often and they want him using a different finisher for a while. I tend to believe the latter because otherwise they would have stopped that curb stomp a long time ago. But at the same time, I think it is a bad decision to have that, to not have him use the curb stomp. To me, it makes no sense. He's been using it for a while. People get into it. Maybe they want to keep him as a heel in the move they thought was getting over too much or something. I don't know, but the curb stomp was something that was very unique, and I liked it. And I guess we're not going to see it as much now.
It could just be an issue with cooler heads finally prevailing. I mean,
it could be.
You know, somebody pushed for it. They liked it for a little while, and they finally said it's just not worth it anymore. People always comment about how dangerous that move looks, and it could just be the right person complained at just the right time.
Sorry, I was a little distracted there. I had to – some damn website was feeding audio in my ears there.
Yeah, it wasn't between the ropes, was it?
It was not. It was another website, and audio popped up from an ad out of nowhere, and I was like, ah. Drive me nuts.
That's funny.
Let's see. What else do we want to... So...
There's been a lot of breaking news. If we're skipping off Raw...
Okay. So let's go through some of the different stuff that has happened this past week. So...
Galaxy Quest! Coming back!
Yes, it is.
It's our Cheap Pops Minute.
Oh, God. So is Full House, so...
Fuller House! Coming in! Boom! Netflix! Get some cold cuts! Get some cold cuts!
So Chris Jericho is going to be interviewing Stephanie McMahon for the WWE Network after SmackDown on April 20th.
Okay.
I don't care who is doing the interview. Stephanie is an extremely smart, bright, articulate person. This interview is going to suck.
Yes. Yep.
Just because she will steer the conversation. It'll be very canned answers. She'll talk about how much she still loves Andre the Giant.
Yep.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things where that's what she wants to do because she's in a corporate position. I can't really blame her. I mean, how much is she going to open up on some other things? I don't know. I just have a sense in seeing her do other interviews that this is the route it's going to go. And I don't blame Jericho for saying, hey, you know, we got to turn this into an all insider interview, you know, because that's just not going to happen. And right. And he's not looking to create waves or anything like that. And I don't blame him. You know, he's not going to be a quote unquote corporate person, but at the same time, the second you start doing something like that, then it's really going to be an awkward interview. So, I just have the sense that if you're really into insider stuff and seeing me break that fourth wall and all that stuff, this is not going to be the interview to watch.
These interviews have become very WWE friendly. Not that they've been kayfabe people, come on, but they've taken on a different tone with Jericho. And I think Stephanie McMahon is the worst person to bring in to combat that idea, because she, like you said, it's going to be a tough interview. The responses she gives, company line. I am not excited. I used to get excited for the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. I'm not really that excited. I don't really think this is going to be, you know, must-see TV or whatever.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. But we'll see what happens on this one. Maybe I'll be totally wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I always wondered if, they were going to have Stephanie do one of these and how it would go across. So, because I really thought that if they weren't going to have Stephanie do it, the next one would have been Roman.
Okay.
but obviously didn't go that route. So I thought Roman would have been a good choice. I wondered if maybe they would go like Big Show or Kane because they've been around for so long, or maybe they would go with Seth because, you know, being champion, or maybe even Paul Heyman. But
I think bringing Roman Reigns into that situation would be dangerous. Seth Rollins to a certain extent as well.
Well, here's why I would do Roman, though, because I think then you get to see the personality that I've seen before and some others have seen before, but a lot of people have not. I mean, when last year at SummerSlam, everybody talks about that 2K panel that he did. He was fantastic on there. I mean, he's got a lot of charisma. And I think a lot of people say they haven't seen it yet, and it'll be a great opportunity for him to show it off.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's the right environment for it. I see what you're saying. I disagree. A little bit. I disagree a little bit.
So Taz is gone from TNA.
What?
Money issues.
No, really, why is he gone?
Money issues.
Okay. I got it. That's funny. Okay, why is he gone for real?
He didn't
That's
get
a good joke. I've heard that one before.
He didn't get his checks on time. So he wasn't getting his checks on time. He complained. He didn't go to a taping for Impact and for a voiceover session. And they all talked, and they thought it would be best if he parted ways now. He's since been paid. He left in a professional manner and everything, but he just said it was time to go. He's got other projects. You know, he treats it like a business. And so he's out, and he said, you know what, my contract was coming up at the end of the year anyway, or in the summer, so he wasn't even sure if he was going to resign, so he is out. Josh Matthews did call Impact last week by himself, did perfectly fine, and I wonder if they're even going to replace Taz, and maybe they will have Josh do the show solo.
That's kind of a crazy concept to me. I mean, maybe I'm just old school. That's how do you do that? How do you have a long term? I understand you can do it every once in a while, but long term, how do you not have a play-by-play and a color guy?
Well, I mean, if they feel like the one guy is doing a good enough job on his own, that's how you can get away with it. But I know it's not, you know, traditional. I mean, the last person to really do that on their own would probably be Joey Styles with ECW, right?
Yeah. So I would, in a major organization at least.
Yes. So we'll see what happens. But you know what? You could see this coming. You know, Taz was taking off any mention of TNA off his Twitter account. We'd heard about the money thing. And I talked about this a bit, you know, on the podcast I did earlier in the week with Scott Fishman, and you know, the column that I did for Sporting News talking about production people were complaining that they were not being paid in a timely manner, still are owed money, got shorted money on paychecks. And I know TNA already commented about there was reports that wrestlers were not getting paid in a timely fashion, and they were chalking it up to, hey, we're getting caught up on that. You know, there is a little bit of a disconnect between our office, you know, here in Nashville and with our main office for Panda Energy, which is in Dallas, Texas. Plus, they moved offices in Dallas recently. So it was a lot of excuses, which to me, that's all it is, excuses. I mean, it's not a way to run a business. You got people that are very talented. They're going out there. They're doing their jobs, and they should be paid on time and all their money.
Yep.
So that was the problem I had. And if you got this going on, I know people say, well, it's starting to lead more towards what's going on with TNA. I'll believe it when I see it, when it comes to that. But there definitely are not good vibes going on there right now between that. And there's some talk about, you know, is Destination America really happy with them, even though they're drawing big ratings, but they're not making any money off advertising really, you know, which is just one of the pitfalls of wrestling, unless you're WWE. And even there, WWE thought they're going to make a lot more money on their new TV deal when they negotiated it last year. And while they made more money, it wasn't the three times the amount that they were going to get for their TV rights.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it's all gloom and doom or anything like that, but there are definitely a lot of issues that TNA is still dealing with.
I think it's sad. TNA is, they have a good product out there. People are still following it. They're big fans of it, but it is not the company it once was. And I think it's left the door open. I hope that one of these American companies can capitalize. Ring of Honor, Global Force Wrestling. I think New Japan is kind of really stepping up what it's doing. and capturing some of that American audience. But to me, the saddest thing is, in America, we have a lot of small independent products that are coming out of this that have followings, but we don't have a big alternative. And I think that's what we need. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's the new thing. The new wrestling scene is just a bunch of independent products, and WWE just exists on its own little platform. But, you know, I guess it's really sad to me that TNA was the closest thing WWE had to a competitor, and they're so far gone from that, it's not even funny now.
Well, we've got Global Force Wrestling that's going to start doing some shows over the summer.
Sure.
They made the announcement that they are going to be doing some shows at different minor league baseball parks, mostly in the, or all of them, in the Southeast. It's basically kind of the same thing that TNA did. So they're going to be doing that, and they've got TV tapings coming up later on in the summer as well for Las Vegas. I have no idea who they're going to be using on their shows. I think the roster for who they have for their TV tapings could be vastly different than what they have for the ballpark shows.
Yeah.
But they said they're going to make an announcement about their talent in the coming weeks. So I guess probably beginning of May. We'll find out exactly who they're going to be using. So I have no idea, man. I have no idea. But, you know,
it's hard. It's a hard market out there.
Well, they're doing that TV taping, and they must, I mean, obviously they know a lot more than anybody else, but they must have something up their sleeve because we haven't heard anything about TV yet.
That's true.
So we'll find out soon enough. NXT is going to be doing a show in Albany, New York coming up. So they're actually doing another show outside of Full Sail University. They're going to be up in Albany on May 16th. So you got that coming up. I mentioned Ring of Honor. They've got their two-night set coming up that's going to be in the old ECW Arena. That is coming up in May. I'm trying to bring up all the matches for those shows because they've been announced.
Okay.
If I can get this to load, and that is a problem. And it's not because I'm watching a baseball game on my computer.
Oh, yeah. That's and then
no, I'm really not watching the baseball game anymore. I turned it off.
Uh-huh.
I was watching a baseball game, but then I turned it off.
Okay.
Get over
whatever
it.
Whatever you say.
Get over it. Whatever okay, here we go. So the first night, the Briscoes are taking on Okada and Nakamura. Holy shnikes.
Oh, my God. That'll be a good match.
AJ Styles is taking on a mystery man, which is believed to be Adam Cole.
Okay.
Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly against Jushin Thunder Liger and Hiroshi Tanahashi. You've got Michael Elgin against Naito. You've got the Young Bucks against Bennett and Taven and against Daniels and Kazarian. And so that's a three-team tag match.
Okay.
Roderick Strong's taking on Kushida. Delirious against Gato. Match of the Booker versus Booker. I respect you, Booker Man.
Booker Man?
Booker Man. And then the second night, we've got, let's see, Jade Lethal versus Nakamura versus Mark Briscoe versus Jushin Thunder Liger in a non-title match. Daniels and Kazarian against Okada and Gato. Roderick Strong against Tanahashi. Jay Briscoe versus Bobby Fish for the ROH title. AJ Styles and the Young Bucks against Adam Cole, Matt Taven, and Michael Bennett. And Kyle O'Reilly against Naito. Holy shnikes, that's some loaded shows.
Yep.
I think the only tickets available are standing room only, if even those are available right now.
Wow.
Yes. I've only been to that building once. And it was when TNA did the show there.
I wish I could go. That sounds pretty awesome.
It does sound pretty awesome.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Tough Enough is coming back in June. So now, if you are Tough Enough, because everybody has dreamed, according to Triple H, you have at one point in your life dreamed of being in a WWE ring, of being a superstar, of hearing the adulation of the crowd as your music hits and you walk down that entrance ramp.
I sure did. I was about 9 years old.
Mm.
I loved the idea. In fact, I loved it so much, I made up my own wrestling federation in my mind called Arena Match. And in it, I was the champion. And I booked years of television in my mind for Arena Match with great characters that came through and retired. He knows me. Triple H just gets me.
He does get you.
He does.
Just like the rest of the WWE universe.
Although that announcement Monday night was bull crap. That was a switch and a bait.
Mm.
It was a, hey, look, we're going to have a major announcement. And I thought it was going to be, you know, whoever was going to be training or the
hosting
host.
The show and all that. And it was the same thing that they had sent the press release out earlier
right.
in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they had nothing new there. All they're doing is saying, hey, you know what? We're accepting applications. You can go online. What is it? WWETouchEnough.com. And you can submit your video and see who gets to be on the show. There'll be 10 people and 5 women, or 10 guys, 5 women that will compete. One woman, one man will each win contracts with WWE. And you know what? The talk had been that maybe it was going to be some of the people that were really newbies at NXT, but obviously that is not going to be the case. And we'll find out coming up who's exactly going to be on that show.
Yeah, I just think that it's I'm excited about the show. I'm not excited about the announcement because really, how else do you apply for reality TV shows? Although I think, you know, I kind of wish they would go more of I really liked what's happened on the Ultimate Fighter in recent seasons, where they've kind of taken that reality slant and turned it into more of a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be awesome if WWE did that with Tough Enough.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. They say it's going to be totally different than what we've seen in the past. So, you know, I don't know exactly what kind of ideas they have for making putting their own spin on it. But, you know, it's still going to be a reality show. Those can be very hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's going to be the host. I mean, I still tend to think it's going to be Triple H. There's been some talk that maybe it'd be Chris Jericho. I don't know about Chris for that role. I think Triple H might suit that role better.
Yes. You got to have somebody who's kind of tough. I mean, that's the whole point of that role, is to not berate them, but to a certain extent, yes, berate them a little bit.
Well, that's why Austin was perfect for that.
Yep.
Because, I mean, he had the respect that you're looking for, and he was a guy that, you know, could say different things and wasn't a – he liked saying those things. He liked being brutally honest. That's what he was known for. So it was great that they had him in that role, and now he is not going to be there, and they got to find somebody else. And that's big shoes to fill. And that's going to be the tough thing, because no matter what, that person is going to be graded against what Austin did, and a lot of people liked his work before.
You know who'd be perfect for that role?
Who's that?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, he would be.
You know who they should hire for that role? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Why don't they just put Randy Orton in that role?
Oh, my God. Instead of getting kicked off the show, they'd get RKO'd.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be great? They just stand there. They just stand there and, like, he'll walk up and down the line like he's playing musical chairs. Do, 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 do. Ah, get him right away.
Oh, my God.
I just gave them a great show idea.
There you go. Two great. Good ideas.
See, and here's the thing, too, that, I mean, this hasn't been confirmed, but we all believe it, that they're going to be doing the show at the Performance Center here in Orlando.
Here's what I don't want to see happen with this show, and it is a concern of mine.
Yes.
That they're going to turn this into some kind of like reality carnival show. You remember whenever NXT first started and it was that crappy Wednesday night show on Sci-Fi that was like they had weird challenges where they ran around barrels and did stupid stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to do that to Tough Enough, because Tough Enough is a pretty good hour of television whenever it's done right. And I'm just worried they're going to screw with the format to make it more social media friendly and
be like,
stuff.
That's when Daniel Bryan was working under The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of the Performance Center and the talent there and everything, and NXT tapings coming up on Thursday, and then Friday night, Mick Foley is going to be doing his stand-up show at Full Sail, which will be taped to air on the WWE Network. I'm going to be going.
Go.
I will be there. I'll tell you how it is.
Yes, you are. Uh-huh.
In fact, if you be on the lookout at Sporting News, you'll see my column talking about that show and some comments from the hardcore legend Mick Foley.
Why don't you just brag about your column on Sporting News, Brian?
Okay, if you go to sportingnews.com and you do a little search for my name, or if you just go to Google and type in Sporting News Brian Fritz, it will take you to my author page and all my different pieces of work there.
You know where you should go after you get done there?
Betweentheropes.com.
Shove it up your rear end.
Excuse you?
Yeah, I said it. At The Real Wiseman on Twitter, wiseman.ma, Instagram, facebook.com/Michael A. Wiseman, michaelawiseman.com. Just Google me.
God, why, you'll find me. I wish we could do the show in person, especially when you're all lit up like you are tonight.
I'd punch you in the face.
You know what? You're not lit. You're just fired up.
Right.
That's all
I'm
it
at
is.
That good spot. I'm at that good spot is where I am.
Don't you, when you, I love it when you get in your good spot. We were doing the Google Hangouts before, like right after a pay-per-view, and you didn't like the show. And you'd be like, he goes, I already had two. I just cracked number three. Let's do this.
The fans miss all the good stuff. We do all the good stuff off the air. This is like our B-show. This is our B-roll, you know?
I know, right? So was there anything else that I missed that we needed to talk about before we get to the few questions that we have?
Way to go. You're stalling, aren't you? You're stalling. I know what you're doing.
No. I'm just making sure. Did I miss anything? Or what
they released two things. Video game related, they released WWE 2K for mobile devices.
Yes.
Apparently, it's still very swipe heavy, so I'm going to maybe skip that one if you don't like swiping games. But they did announce that they're releasing WWE 2K15 on the PC that came out about an hour ago. So if you're a PC gamer, there you go. And we forgot to mention that Curtis Axel has been in the Royal Rumble for 8 years now.
He did. He did a video with Cal Edwards, where he was saying, I've been in the Royal Rumble for 8 years now.
Yep.
And Cal Edwards said, how is that even possible? Don't you worry about it.
That's good stuff.
It was fantastic stuff.
Love it.
By the way, did you know? Okay, so this happened, I guess, like a month ago, that Missy Hyatt got arrested in Tallahassee, Florida for grand theft.
What?
Not Grand Theft Auto, just grand theft. Yeah, she got arrested in March for grand theft. Now, grand theft in the state of Florida is any property over the value of $300.
Okay.
Now, Missy's side of the story is that another woman left. She was at a Civil War reenactment, and another woman took her rental car. And another woman.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that one. Okay.
Okay.
So another woman who was part of a Civil War reenactment left her uniform in Missy's rental car, which was then lost when she returned it. When she returned to the car, returned the car. So the said woman went to the police and said, "Hey, this woman lost, or basically stole, my Civil War reenactment uniform," and she claimed it was worth $10,000. So Missy said she heard about the charges and turned herself in and was released a few hours later. And she expects the case to get dropped out of court.
Wow. How old is she nowadays?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But she looks a lot older than she is.
Yeah.
She does not look good. And I'll tell you what, her mugshot looked even worse. She's 51 years old.
That's not too old.
That mugshot of hers from this arrest, yikes.
Let me Google that. Missy Hyatt mug shots. See what we got here. Oh, she looks like I've seen that before on The Walking Dead.
Yeah. That's one of those where you've had like, I don't know, like 8 plastic surgeries too much on your face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, there's a lot of women that are like that, man, where they've had the plastic surgery to try to stay young and it just makes them look weird. I mean, she's far from the only one that's that happened that does not work out.
Why is it that the first row, if you Google Missy Hyatt mugshot,
yes,
the first row is all Missy Hyatt. Second row, Dean Ambrose is the second picture from the left.
Oh, I don't know. That's a very good question.
Wrestling Inc. Oh, that's funny. Missy Hyatt. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
That's funny.
One other thing I guess we should talk about a little bit.
Okay.
Jim Ross had Shawn Michaels on his podcast recently.
Oh, that's right. Big news.
And he said, he was talking to Shawn about, hey, would you want to come out of retirement for WrestleMania 32? It's in your home state. And I'm sure that they need every big attraction that they can get to try to put 100,000 people in that building. Would you be willing to do it? Shawn was, depending on how you listen to him, he kind of blew it off. Like, but he did say that they've contacted him in the past and they've already contacted him about it. He didn't say, I'm going to do it. He kind of blew it off like, you know, like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't think he's doing it. But at the same time, it was kind of interesting the way that he answered it. And that, you know, WWE wants him, you know, obviously to do it, or the offer is there. And I'm sure the offer has been there for every WrestleMania since he retired.
Well, they had an opponent in mind, it sounded like, too, or a feud in mind.
Right. You know, it wasn't too long ago when his book came out, and I talked to Shawn, and I asked him about it, and he was just like, I get asked all the time, not interested. He said there was one idea that that he thought about for a second, but wouldn't tell me what it was, and said that was the only one he even briefly entertained, and he's not even going to do that. And I brought up the whole, you know, student versus teacher feud with Daniel Bryan, and he says that just doesn't really interest me.
You know, so I guess what strikes me as really interesting about this is that it comes out now, and we know that Austin and WWE have kind of not seen eye to eye on contract terms as of late, and we know that WWE is all keyed up about wanting to make this the biggest arena filled with people of all time, right? And it seems to me that Austin was on the list of people they wanted to wrestle at WrestleMania 32 for one more match. And, you know, I'm not saying it's posturing. I'm sure if they could get Shawn Michaels to come out of retirement, they would. And I'm sure they have offered him money every year to do it. But it's almost like maybe they made a double down offer for Shawn Michaels when things kind of went sour with Austin recently, in hopes of A, either actually hoping to get Shawn Michaels, or B, kind of force Austin to renegotiate and come back to the table a little bit and say, you know what, Austin? If you don't want to come to terms with us, we can go to somebody else.
Yeah, maybe that was the case. You know, the thing that I'm curious about is how serious is he entertaining it? Because I really don't think he wants to come back. And quite honestly, I'm a huge Shawn Michaels fan. I do not want to see him back. I thought he retired on his own terms. He didn't come back. And, you know, I hold him in highest esteem for that. He said this is it. And he's got other things he wants to do. And doesn't want to come back, doesn't need to come back, unless there was something that was tantalizing. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch if he came back, but at the same time, I don't think he needs to come back. I feel the same way about Stone Cold. Like, if he wants to come back, fine. I'd rather not. He rode off into the sunset, and, you know, he had an incredible career. Unless they're throwing him an amount of money that he just cannot refuse, I'd say stay retired.
Is that how you felt about The Rock before The Rock came back?
No, because The Rock was a little bit different because just he was younger.
Okay.
And with The Rock, you didn't feel like it was a finite retirement.
That's true.
So it was
never had like that retirement match, I guess.
Right. It was just a little bit different. Like with Austin, we didn't know it, but you know, Austin was banged up because of the neck. Shawn Michaels definitely did have the retirement match. But with Austin, you found out like how seriously injured he was and how he needed to stop, you know, at the time. So there was different factors. With The Rock, it was just he's going to go off and he's going to go to Hollywood. And he's going to do movies. And so it was a different kind of feel with him, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, if say he was to come back, or if they continue to try to coerce him to come back, who do you think they have in mind to have him face? Yes.
Somebody speculated The Rock. That's not going to happen because The Rock and Triple H is on the list right now. I don't know.
Bray Wyatt?
I kind of had that thought. But
would it be Daniel Bryan?
It'd have to be, right? I mean, I mean, I know the trainer versus trainee thing is played out, but there would be other ways you could handle that. But that's kind of the dream match for fans, is to see Shawn Michaels and that. Even if they hadn't trained together, those guys match up so well on paper.
Well, let me throw out some other names then, okay?
Okay.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Sting.
Okay. Okay.
To me, if Sting's going to be on that show, he's got to face Taker.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, unless... I mean, the only other person I could see them putting Taker with is Sheamus.
Because this is pretty much going to be... I mean, we have to assume this is going to be his retirement match, right?
I would think so. I think it's fair to say.
Okay.
Whether it really is or not, who knows, but I think it's fair to say.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who else would make a lot of sense for Shawn.
That's the problem I had, is that none of these guys that are on the roster right now, outside of the legendary names like Brock Lesnar, The Rock, whoever, none of the guys that are normal performers really jumped out to me. And I said, you know what? That'd be the guy that I'd put with Shawn Michaels.
Right. Because, I mean, I still think a Lesnar against Roman Reigns makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different ideas, but I still don't think Shawn should come back. And I don't think he's going to come back unless the money offer is just ridiculous. You know, Shawn's going to be 50.
Really?
Or is 50.
He's in such great shape.
Well, he doesn't even watch the shows.
Shawn could fight the bunny.
So, yeah. Like, he doesn't even watch the shows, man. Like, if they call him up, he tells him, well, what do you got in mind? And he says, yeah, I can do that. Or, no, I don't want to do that. And he does the show, but he does not watch Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff. And that's fine. I mean, he's got other things going on. He's removed from it. I don't know how he feels, because I'm sure there's some people that would have a hard time watching just because they did it for so long and now they're removed. I mean, Austin said he didn't watch for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Hell, even Taz even admits that he's not even watching right now. Well, for Taz, I think he's not watching Impact. He might be watching
that. Well, there's also that side about, well, I don't want to watch because I was so close to it. It's going to make me miss it.
Sure.
But there's also probably the I'm done with my job. Even if you love it, even if you enjoy going to work every day, it's still your job. And so whenever you get done with your job and you want to move on, you don't want to watch your job every day. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I can understand that, because you just want to be removed from it. You are looking at it from a different perspective than everybody else, because you worked there. You were a part of it. So, you know, I can't really put myself in those shoes. So, by the way, when I go to NXT on Thursday for the tapings, do you want me to text you to tell you what's going on? Or
tell me who you're sitting next to. John Cena's still got that hot seat right next to you.
I don't know if I'm getting the Cena seat.
You should ask him for it when you go in. So, Where's John Cena sitting tonight? Can I sit next to him?
I have sat basically in that same seat before, but Johnny was not there.
I want you to tweet out spoilers, because that's what everybody loves to do on the internet.
All I know is that when he was there for that one night that I ended up being next to him, I had heard that he drove his Ferrari there, and I asked him about the Ferrari before we were shown on camera.
Nice. Nice. There you go. Schmoozing.
I was like, hey, man, how's the Ferrari?
Schmoozing.
All right, you want to get some questions?
Let's do it.
By the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning like I should have, but we do appreciate everybody to subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast. Of course, you can go to betweentheropes.com. You can find the podcast there and all the other work that we do there on the website. But you can subscribe to us, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher or the Downcast app. You can also get us on the TuneIn app as well. And please, when you do subscribe to us, especially on iTunes and Stitcher, please rate us and review us. That helps us out tremendously. And also, you can find out our other work, interviews and such, on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/betweentheropes. And you can follow us on Twitter @betweentheropes as well.
All right, jumping right in here. Bo Vance, who are the front runners for the 2016 Hall of Fame? Will Bruiser Brody... Bruiser Brody...
I think he will get in, but I don't know if next year is the year. I think the favorites next year to me are The Undertaker. I think the Freebirds.
Okay.
Who else do you think from Texas, maybe?
You're going to have somebody from the Click so we can have that closing segment with all the
true. That is very true. Well,
what's NWO.
DX.
Stick them in there.
So it's funny because every year we talk about, like, who's from that area they should put in, and it's like almost nobody from that area.
They do like one person from that area sometimes,
right?
But not the entire class or whatever.
But I would say right now the Freebirds and Taker would be my favorites.
Those two make a lot of sense.
Even though the one thing about Taker, though, is if he's going to have another match, I don't know how much he's going to want to break character the night before WrestleMania when he's been so secure about that. So maybe you'd want to wait till the year after his retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
You get on a mid card. There are so many people they could pull from. I mean, it could literally be anybody. So it's hard to predict those things. I think Bruiser Brody will get in at some point. I just don't know if that's next year.
Right. And I would definitely like to see Bruiser get in if it was next year or whenever it was. I always think there's always going to be one person that's always probably passed away that was well-respected. People will now point a lot to Lou Thesz as a guy that they really need to look at.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know about next year. I think the Rock and Roll Express is something you got to look at as a possibility when it comes to tag teams.
Yeah, but I think that you couldn't put in the Rock and Roll Express and the Freebirds in the same year.
Yeah, probably.
Just seemed like it might.
Tag teams for future years, though, probably Rock and Roll Express, even over Midnight Express. Midnight's, I'm not sure, because there was two different incarnations, and you got Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And I don't know if Jimmy would want to be there, and even if it was, I don't know if WWE would totally trust him.
Right.
I'm not saying that Jim would do anything bad, but same time, it's could be a tough situation.
Divas, I say Sable.
Absolutely. That would probably be at the top of the list, I would think.
Done. Moving on.
Put it in pen.
Junior Maddox. Is Daniel Bryan out because of his match with Sheamus, where I read he got a concussion, or because of the prior injury that caused him to miss the 10 months?
I think it might be neither. He did not get a concussion, it looks like. He did split his head open because they were really headbutting each other. And he got cut from that. But it looks like there was a match early on in the European tour where he suffered some kind of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it relates to his neck or his nerves or his elbow or what. But it looks like there was some kind of injury he suffered there that has caused him to be sidelined.
We talked about it earlier. He wrestles a rough style. I think it's important to remember that while it could be a concussion at one point or another that puts him out for a little while, or, you know, he had that injury last year, all of these injuries build up over time, and these guys don't just have, I mean, so occasionally you have one guy have an injury. I think of Draws, who just, it ruined the rest of his career. But these guys don't really just have that one moment. A lot of times it's normally a buildup of injuries that they have to take time off for, or their body is just so beaten and bruised that they need to recover. So it's important to kind of keep that in mind. Lincoln Jefferson, who will win Money in the Bank? I say Bray.
You might be right. That's a solid choice. Think about other people that we think could win it. Dean Ambrose, I think, could win it.
Okay.
You want me to go super markout moment? Who could win
sure.
it?
Sure.
Finn Balor.
No, there's no way.
I know.
No.
Probably not.
Bo Dallas.
No. Brock Lesnar. Think of all the fun you could have with that.
I think Bray would make a lot of sense. I think he's kind of the front runner right now. You could say that Roman Reigns could win it. But the way they do Money in the Bank now, really anybody on the roster, even a main event draw, Randy Orton could win it. I don't think he will, because he won it 2 years ago.
Sheamus could win it.
Yeah. Ziggler, who seems to be in a much better spot nowadays.
He's already won it. I don't think he'll do it again with him.
Yeah. Big Show could win it.
Daniel Bryan could win it.
Big Show could win it. Kane could.
I don't think Big Show or Kane's going to win it.
Could you imagine if Big Show won?
Oh, my God.
Well, I'd love it. The internet would implode upon itself.
Mm.
Mike Valdez. Do you think Randy Orton is still a viable main event draw in 2015?
I do, because of the changing landscape of pay-per-views, or just how they do their business right now. Because remember, things are catered more towards the network. If we're talking about putting guys in main events when it comes to building up towards what were pay-per-views and still are, but you know, the once a month that's now on the network. And because they're not so reliant on doing a big pay-per-view number, because the way that the business has changed and everything's over to the WWE network now, that I think that they can definitely get away with Orton being in that position.
And I think that Randy Orton is always, we talked about this earlier, always hanging around that main event spot anyway.
Yeah.
It depends on how engaged he is, but listen, he's been in the main event a lot in the last 2 years. I mean, there was that 3 or 4 month period where he was carrying the title, and he was being challenged leading up to last year's WrestleMania that, you know, people loved that WrestleMania main event. So I think he still has potential. He's still, you know, he's still relatively young. He's not going away anytime soon. So I think he's a draw, but I think it's about who he's paired up with. I think on his own, yeah, it's Randy Orton. But I think depending on who he's paired up with, he could have a good match, and that makes it interesting. I'm looking forward to Seth Rollins, Randy Orton come Sunday. Tommy Tucker, who do you think has the two top wrestling ring entrances currently, and name the two best of all time?
Oh, jeez. Currently, Finn Balor, when he gets the makeup on.
Okay.
Is one. I don't know. Would you put Bray there because of the audience participation?
You don't love Roman Reigns just walking to the crowd? Just Bray Wyatt.
I guess Bray. Rusev on a tank would be up there.
Whose music? Okay, let me ask you this. Whose music hits that gives you that old school feeling? Because when Austin's music would hit, when The Rock's music would hit, even Mankind, when he had that music with the car crash, those guys, Triple H.
The Cubs come from behind, score 3 in the top of the ninth to beat the Pirates. Booyah!
We need to focus. We're doing wrestling, not other sports.
What a comeback win for the Cubbies.
Right, Fritzy? Talking about wrestling.
Give up 8 runs, races. Down 2 going into the ninth. They put up 3.
Oh, dear Lord. We've lost them.
What a win.
Lost him. He's
Cubs
gone.
8-5 on the season, 4-1 on the road, and taking the first 2 of a 3-game series against the Pirates. So what a guy, music hits where it's like old school feel, you pop and everything?
Yeah, who has the music?
Like current guys right now when the music hits, you pop?
Yep.
I do like Rusev's music, and I like that he's a little bit of an old school character.
Okay.
So I like his a lot.
Brock Lesnar's music is impeccable.
Is because you know that there's like destruction coming.
Yep.
When he comes, it's just like batting down the hatches. Like you don't know what that dude is gonna do. I still love that one time a couple years ago where The Miz was doing his talk show in the ring and Brock came out and just chucked a couch out of the ring. I was like, Miz, you better get out of there. You better fear for your life right now, buddy.
I'm a huge fan of Dolph Ziggler's music, too. I think it hits the right note for his character, his entrance.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other guy right now would really have that.
Greatest of all time, then. What about that?
Greatest music of all time?
Greatest entrance of all time. So we could pick
Macho Man just because the way, I mean, you got to remember though, at that era when Macho would come out, people were on both sides of the guardrails. It was like going out to a UFC fight because they would have to have security with these guys that came to the ring. And he wasn't the only guy, like everybody did, because people could reach out of the guardrail and they could touch him, and just, you know, fans were so close to the wrestlers. They came down to the ring. Like, they had to have security and everything. And, you know, the music hit, you knew exactly who it was. And see him come out with the sunglasses and the cape and everything. See that? Flair, when he would come out with the women. Mm-hmm. That was huge when he hit the music and everything.
The Godfather.
Jeez almighty. Godfather.
The Undertaker obviously has one of the greatest entrances of all time.
Especially for big shows. But you can say that about Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I agree with that.
Because the lights go out, you know, does the whole, you know, lights come back on. There he is.
I think Austin, I always go to Austin. I'm a huge Austin fan anyway, but I think his music hit the right notes. It was raw. It was edgy. He came out, meant business. It really, it set the right tone for a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, same with Rock when they started doing his with, you know, Do You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking?
Yeah.
Like that thing would hit. It still does. People go nuts.
Yep.
You know, Hulkamania, perfect song for Hogan. It's not a WWE original song.
Yeah.
But it still fits the tone perfectly with him and his character.
I agree. All right. So we're not here all night.
And I still think John Cena should have come out to that song at WrestleMania. And Hogan should have come out as his flag bearer.
Right. That would have been fantastic. Dude, I was there. We asked Sergeant Slaughter how he felt about it. He didn't have much to say.
He did not have much to say. We asked him about why he wasn't out there. And he was just like, that's a very good question.
Yep. Yep. We did.
Dude, they did that last year. I love that, man. Sarge is going around, man. I was like, oh, here comes Sarge.
I just thought it was so busy. I thought it was so awesome because he was just walking around the press box. And we're like, hey, Sarge.
Yeah, they did that the previous year where midway through the show. Hey, Sergeant Slaughter's making the rounds saying hi to everybody.
That's funny. All right, Aston Blake, do you think Enzo and Cass can succeed on the main WWE roster, and do they have to lose Carmella? I personally think they can, and their interaction with the crowd is reminiscent of the New Age Outlaws in the Attitude Era.
I think they can. I don't think they have to lose Carmella. I know some people are not as high when it comes to the speaking when they come out because it's kind of the same. It's the same act every time.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that gets over, though. There's been plenty of times where people have done the same thing, and I think that they can change it up. That would be something they would do on the main roster. The biggest thing that I think they have to work on, Kaz, obviously because of his size, is a huge advantage. I think they just have to tighten up their work a little bit, especially Enzo. But he's got so much personality that he can overcome that. I do think they can make it on the main roster.
And I think they will. I think we were talking about entrances a minute ago. New Age Outlaws always had a classic entrance. It was great. Enzo and Cass, if you've not seen it in person, and on NXT, on TV, you get the feeling a little bit. When you see that entrance in person and realize how over they are with everybody in the crowd, it's incredible. We're talking about the Monday after Raw. And you mentioned this. You said, can you imagine if their music hit right now?
Oh, people would go nuts, man, because that crowd is a smart crowd. And that's when they need to introduce somebody like that that knows them. They identify with them. They watch NXT, and they will react. It's not a situation where they brought up Emma, and everybody's like, who is this crazy woman?
Right.
And what's this dance?
And Bubbles, what? Huh?
Right, you know, just, you know what? We can sit here and say we watch NXT all the time, but how much of that regular audience that goes to Raw and is watching at home is watching NXT on a week-to-week basis and knows all the different characters? Not that many when it comes down to it.
Right. But Enzo and Cass, I think they
put them out on that show, people would pop for it. Damn. And I think when you saw them do the act, people would get into it as long as they booked them strong right off the bat. And I think they'd be great.
Agreed. Dan Lutzka, when do you think we will see Sting again?
January?
I think August. I think sometime in the fall, and it would not surprise me to see him pop his head out around August. Not to come back for a match, but they like to set up matches in the fall for WrestleMania. So,
could they set up Undertaker versus Sting after SummerSlam for Mania?
Yep. That's when you do it. Get the ball rolling.
They could do that.
Last question, Matt Ellis. And listen, before I get to the last question, I don't do this every week. Thank you all for writing us questions. Thank you all for contacting us on Twitter, on Facebook. We appreciate it. I know Twitter is the best way to reach me if you want to just chat about wrestling some. I tend to tweet back and respond. I think Fritz does the same. But for the questions and everything, it really helps make our show better. We appreciate you guys as fans. It's great to have this interaction. And don't be a stranger. Please reach out to us. You guys are awesome. So keep it up. Matt Ellis, how do you guys think Jeff Jarrett has handled the Global Force Wrestling startup? I think he is smart for trying to line everything up before following through. Do you think the promotion will be good for the wrestling business?
Well, there's still a lot of questions to be answered. Obviously, he's handling everything in a very slow and deliberate manner, as you should. Jeff has got a ton of experience in the wrestling business, growing up in it. Starting up TNA. So, I mean, he's learned the hard way through a lot of his different things he's been involved with. So there's a reason why he's going about this slow and deliberate, and the manner that he's putting things together. If it's a stable business that employs guys and they know their limitations, they know their strengths, and they try to go out there and put on good shows, but at the same time not trying to take over the world, and stay within themselves and obviously don't overspend, absolutely can be good for the wrestling business.
I think Jeff Jarrett's been around it long enough. He knows kind of what to do to make it work. He knows what the caveats are, the things he has to look out for. And if you want a guy, I'm telling you, people don't like Jeff Jarrett for whatever reason, but he kind of helped get TNA off the ground back in the day. If you want a guy to come in who knows the business, who's been around it through all the highs and the lows, through all the peaks and the valleys, Jeff Jarrett is your man, and he's going to do it the right way. I know there's been talk in the past about him putting the belt on himself when he ran organizations or whatever, but he knows the business enough, and he doesn't have that stigma that a lot of guys that have been around the business for a long time have. So he's going to do it the right way. I think this is good for Global Force. I think it's going to avoid some of the mistakes that TNA has had with business problems, with money problems. And I wish them the best. I hope Global Force is the new thing in wrestling because I think we need it.
Right. And like I said, you know, the whole thing to me is just being able to do everything in a manner that is, you know, he doesn't get ahead of himself. You don't overspend. You're bringing the right guys that will sell. And, you know, and you're not trying to be the number one thing in wrestling. You're trying to put on the best shows that you can. You're trying to make money, and you're trying to put on a good product that people will enjoy and will want to come back to.
Yes.
That's the whole thing to me. It's like, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You worry about doing the best that you can do. That's the kind of mentality that you need to have. So.
Done.
We'll see exactly what happens. I mean, there are going to be TV tapings coming up in the fall, you know, or late summer even. So, and they're going to be doing those in Las Vegas. They got one, what, June, July, and September, I think, are when the tapings are coming up. So, we'll see exactly what happens.
I wish them the best of luck. I hope it works out.
Yeah. So, that will be it for this week's podcast. We appreciate everybody for listening in. And don't forget, subscribe to us, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Downcast app, rate us, review us, especially on iTunes and Stitcher. And, of course, you can go to BetweenTheRopes.com. You can listen to the podcast there and download it and check out all the other articles and everything we have on there. You can go to YouTube. Go to YouTube.com/BetweenTheRopes to find our videos, especially the various interviews that we did during WrestleMania. If you have not watched those yet, plus we plan on being on YouTube doing a Google Hangout on Sunday immediately following the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. So you can look forward to that. We'll have the link on the website as well. But like I said, if you go to YouTube, you'll be able to find that. And follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes as well. So
it'll be a Q&A session as well. So the way we do Google Hangouts, if you've never done it with us before, there'll be the video, me and Brian talking. But you can also ask questions about the show and immediate reactions to it. It won't be as long as a normal podcast. It'll maybe 30, 45 minutes, depending on how long we talk. But we try to make it interactive. And you get to see our smiling faces.
Absolutely. And you might even see my new Macho Man poster, too.
There you go.
There you go. So, well, look forward to that on Sunday night following Extreme Rules. And, of course, go to BetweenTheRopes.com. We'll even have some predictions coming up here in the coming days with myself and Michael and some other members of the staff. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for checking out BetweenTheRopes.com. And we'll talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.